Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Playtesting. It's episode 187. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube or on the WEEI channel. You can find all of our videos there on the Playtesting playlist. Hit the thumbs up there. Subscribe to WEEI. You know the drill. Find us on the socials at Playtesting on both Twitter and Instagram. So, and I'm here with Sammy. Pat's here as well. It's Gordo here talking to you guys. Countdown is on. I mean, we're really getting close. It's 10 days if you're listening on drop day. Sammy has done one leg of his spring training journey back from Arizona. Sammy, for those who haven't been listening, Sammy has gone to Arizona for spring training there. He's now back. You got back a few hours ago, right, from the airport?
A few hours ago. I've been back for 20 minutes.
And then what? We leave on Wednesday. So you have basically 72 hours at home, and then you're onto the other spring training site.
Absolutely. Couldn't be happier about it either. And I gotta say, the Arizona spring training, the Cactus League setup is way better than the Grapefruit League. Everything is right next to each other. Like, there's the Mariners and the Padres are sharing a facility. Cleveland and Cincinnati. Who else? The Rockies and some Diamondbacks, Dodgers and White Sox, and they're all right next to each other. So I just thought that was really cool. Whereas, as much as we love Fort Myers, which is amazing, it's like the Twins are nearby.
That's it.
And that's pretty much it. You got to drive like 90 minutes to see the next team. So I hope somehow the Grapefruit League can be a little bit more like the Cactus League, but I digress. I love both.
Me and my buddies at one point in college, and we never ended up doing it, but we were trying to figure out a spring training trip. And like, I'm a Red Sox fan. I've got Red Sox fan friends. I've got Mets fan friends. I've got Yankee fan friends. And all of those teams are in Florida. So we're like, okay, like, let's look at that. And it's just, it's an awful trip if you want to try to see multiple things. Whereas if you go to Arizona, you could literally park yourself in the middle of wherever these ballparks are at an Airbnb, wake up in the morning, see the lineups, see whichever lineup has the players or the pitchers that you're intrigued by and go to that game. It's just so not like that in Fort Myers. And again, like, we love it because we're going to go down and we're going to see the Red Sox and we'll be there for 4 days. And like, all we really care about is seeing the Red Sox. But if you want to go down somewhere before opening day and see like a true, have a, just a true baseball experience and see as many big leaguers as you can, as many teams as you can, like you could go there for 4 days or so and see a third of the league. Like, yeah, Arizona, it's awesome. I still haven't been there. I gotta go.
Dude, it's great. But of course, just my luck, the one time I go, it is cold and raining in Arizona. And everyone there was like, dude, this never happens. This is crazy. You got so unlucky. But, you know, us New England guys, it wasn't too bad. Just threw on a hoodie. And yeah, the breakout game, very cool. Because the way they structured it, this was at Cleveland, Seattle at Cleveland. If you got tickets for the day game, you could then stay for the night game. And it was kind of open seating. But if you had that seat from the earlier game, you get like first right of refusal, whatever. But the crowd was tiny for that second, for that breakout game. So I got to move up super close, got to see like Travis Bezzana, the number one overall draft pick, who just reminded me a lot of a left-handed swinging Dustin Pedroia. Really impressive. Got to see, bear with me on this one, Gerangelo Shinte from Curaçao, the switch pitcher.
That was
so cool. And it's not like Pat Venditti, who was cool as well. He was also a switch pitcher. But this kid is throwing gas from the right side. And then he's also low 90s from the left side. So Venditti was more kind of a junk baller, which still I don't want to take away.
He wasn't that good. I saw him in person once. It was cool. Don't get me wrong. But like this guy actually has a good shot to be good.
Yeah, and we gotta swear inside that.
Five seconds. I was 5 seconds early. I didn't say it.
Yeah. If you're listening, we the YouTube algorithm does not like swears within the first 5 minutes, so that's why we always keep it clean, and then we go fucking nuts after that.
Hey,
but this kid, Gerangelo, just such a cool thing to see. He was really impressive. I'm going through all these possibilities of maybe he starts as a righty because he's better right-handed, and then he could come out of the bullpen as a lefty, and then Seattle can carry an extra bat or an extra arm. And it's just such an interesting kind of, you know, a unique kind of player. Awesome to see that. Got to see, who else did we see? Colt Emerson, Cole Young. We saw Tugboat, that guy. I don't know if you know about Tugboat, this lovable prospect from Cleveland. Just lots of cool characters we got to see. So if you get a chance to go to a breakout game next spring training, highly recommend it.
Pat, have you ever been to spring training, or is Wednesday when we leave, is that going to be your first spring training trip ever?
No, I went 2019.
Right after the World Series?
Right after the World Series. Yeah, I went 2019 and we have like a family friend who is pretty high up in the front office. We got to park in like the players' lot and all that stuff. I will never forget this as long as I live. We are walking from the players' lot and there are two players walking right in front of us. I said, oh my God, that is Jay Groom. Started freaking out. I'm like, oh, that's just some bum next to him. It was Tanner Houck.
Whoops.
Sorry, Tanner. But yeah, JetBlue is awesome. I'm excited. I haven't been in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I love going at the end like we're doing here. Like, we're closing it out. Last 4 days that they're there are the 4 days that we'll be there, and then they go to Mexico. And it can, like, last year, it felt like, okay, everyone is kind of ready to get out of there, but Sammy and I got there, and it was just like, we were just so excited to be there. And just, I mean, everything was, it was very new to us. Like, it was our first time interviewing players in person and stuff, and we were just excited about it. And it felt like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, whatever, but like it felt like we injected life into the ballpark, and I hope it doesn't need it this year. I hope it doesn't need it this time around. But like if it does, like we'll be there to provide it. Like
speaking
it's just
of
a great time.
injecting life into the ballpark, we will be there for the Friday game against the Pirates. I don't think Skeens is pitching, but maybe he will. That would be exciting.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, that's a bucket list guy.
Did you guys see that video today? I thought that was so embarrassing for the Pirates. They posted a video, one of those secret camera videos of Paul Skeens getting told he's the opening day starter, and they tried to make it like, oh, can you believe it? Are you kidding me? Like, well, that? You don't need a secret camera for that.
Those videos,
oh, so bad.
take the video in case something good happens, but you don't have to post it. The one that I also didn't like, the Jackson Holiday call-up video was weird to me.
Yeah.
That guy, he's like, and you're going to call your dad and you're going to thank him. And then you're going to tell him to meet you in Boston because you're making your debut. And it's just like Jackson Holiday, like he's known that he's ready for this debut for a lot. Like, it's not like some big surprise. Like, he's not the 32-year-old minor league.
It's not Jamie Westbrook.
Yes. Remember the Pirates guy? I forget his name, but he was like,
yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. It's going to kill me because it's not even on the tip of my tongue. But like, it's not like that. Like, this is a kid who, like, he probably thinks he should have been on the big league roster a month ago. So, and like, he's got money. He's, you know, his dad's a big, like, it's not like, whatever. You know, obviously very cool that he's going to make his big league debut, but like, the AAA manager is going to be just such a name? Drew Maggi?
Drew Maggi. Yeah,
Drew Maggi. Yeah. So yeah, the Jackson Holiday one was weird. The Julio Rodriguez one was good. That one sticks in my mind. But yeah, the Paul Skeens opening day start one was weird. But speaking of opening day starts, Garrett Crochet gets the nod for the Sox. And the graphic, the graphic next to the Corey Kluber graphic is spectacular. It's just literally 2 years difference. And I just realized I say literally too much. So call me out from here on out if I say it. Okay? If I say the word literally. Because it's a bad problem I have. But yeah, the Corey Kluber with the flags of 2023 opening day starter Corey Kluber, and then Crochet wearing the jacket. It's like, all right, we're ready to go now. Like, we're here. Garrett Crochet is going to start opening day. He I almost did it again. He shoved in today's spring training game 7 Ks across 4 innings. I mean, it was just he's just an absolute monster. Well deserving of the start. He's the best pitcher on the team. He is really creeping up there in odds behind Skubal for American League Cy Young favorite. I think he's plus 370 and Skubal is plus 350. So I'm excited for him. It's not his first opening day start because he got it for the White Sox because he had no competition for it. But yeah, I mean, one of the best pitchers in baseball will be pitching on opening day for the Red Sox against the Rangers in Texas against old friend Nate Eovaldi. And man, I mean, we're getting on single digits. When you wake up tomorrow morning, it'll be single digits. So I'm excited.
You know, I said, I think it was an episode or two ago, I said I want Tanner Houck to get the opening day start, not because he's better than Crochet, but because he's been here in Boston and it would be a nice nod to him just to give him the opening day start. He's never had one. But then I saw that graphic today, the Crochet graphic, and in my head I'm immediately just, never mind, I take it back. This looks right. This looks, I can't believe, it's that feeling when the team you like, the Red Sox in this case, they get that stud player and then you keep seeing them in the uniform and your brain is kind of like, is this real? Is this actually happening? And it is. It's opening day and then Tanner Houck game two. That's awesome as well. So I couldn't be happier. I haven't felt this level of excitement in so long. And I think I feel bad for my girlfriend's family, who I was just staying with in Arizona. They had to over and over here about how excited I am about the Red Sox, and they're all Mariners people. So they were like, okay, great, 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 cool Red Sox, enough. But I can't help it. I'm crazy, and I love the Sox.
Yeah, dude, it's nice because you had two guys who, like, you wouldn't be mad at either of them starting. Houck, been here, all-star last year, great year last year. Crochet, arguably a top 5-7 pitcher in the league. Like, those are two guys that you don't really bat an eye if either of them are your starter. Compare that to the Kluber year, dude.
And
you know what I remember, like, vividly? I vividly remember that Kluber start before the game started. They did the thing where the cameraman crouches down behind Kluber and does a circular view. Kind of comes around towards the front so you can see him pitching from all angles. And it just had no juice. It did not fire me up at all. He was throwing 91 miles an hour. He had already started declining. I was coping so hard, being like, you know, he's still got something left. He's a pitcher. He's not a thrower. He can. No, it was awful. I'm glad we don't have to cope anymore. That's hopefully over for a long time.
I was at that opening day and Adley Rutschman, it was freezing. Adley Rutschman had 5 hits. He had at least one homer. It might have been two.
His first at bat, it was 2-0, two batters into the game, right?
Yeah, and the Sox, they stormed back at the end and almost won. And then it was either the next game or two games after that. I think it was the next game where, they came back in the ninth, and then Adam Duvall hit the walk-off home run. Actually, that might have been the third game. I don't know. Whatever.
That was the first light show.
It was a lot of COVID.
First light show at Fenway, right? Was the Duvall? I don't know. But yeah, that was I remember that. It was like someone got on, first batter got on against Kluber, and then Adley just hits a missile down the line, just gets out 2-0. Yeah. And you know, the season. That was basically
That's not happening. In Texas. Nope.
At least they let us know what was coming. That was very much like, yep, this is what the whole season's going to be like, so get used to it.
Yeah. And Sammy, to back up to your point about Hauk, it was good, and I'm glad that it got clarified and that Cora said something about it, because, yeah, like, Hauk does deserve a lot of respect for, you know, he was the Red Sox all-star starting pitcher last year, and he's not getting the opening day start. And, like, obviously, we all agree Garrett Crochet is one of the elite arms in the game. He is the best pitcher on the Red Sox, and that alone is deserving of an opening day start. But that said, that doesn't mean that Hauk being your guy last year, the best pitcher you had last year, and basically earning the opening day start last year, should get ignored. I thought it was good that Cora talked about how he talked to Tanner Hauk, and Hauk basically told him, "Hey man, like, I'll pitch whenever, like, you guys make your decision and I'm fine with whatever. I'll do what's best for the team." I thought that was mature of Tanner Houck to do, understanding that Garrett Crochet is here. And, like, to be honest with you, hopefully we get an extension soon and we can call this his staff for the foreseeable future. But yeah, I just, well handled all across the board. Is any small part of you, like, a little bit worried about how Houck has looked? I don't know. It's kind of going off a little bit. He hasn't looked that good. And, like, it's spring training. I get it. But one thing stuck with me, like, Cora got asked about, could Tanner Houck take the next step? And this was maybe 3 weeks ago, but it stuck with me. And he didn't really say yes, which kind of caught, like, usually if a manager is asked, do you think this guy's got another level to get to? He's always going to say yes. I wish I'd saved the answer. Because it stuck with me. I was like, okay, because last year Cora was saying, yeah, Hauk's velocity is up. He is one of the best looking guys here. And this year kind of took an opposite tone. And then Hauk has come out in the spring training games and he struggled. He's not getting strikeouts. I'll find it. I think he's faced 30 batters and he's only struck out two of them.
He wasn't much of a strikeout guy like last year. Even in his great breakout season, he wasn't a huge strikeout guy.
He was early.
I don't know.
Right? Wasn't he early on,
but overall, less than nine, I believe, over nine innings. I can double check that real quick. But yeah, 7.8. But, you know, inducing soft contact is a skill as well. It's hard for, you don't want to put him in a bad position. Like, that last year, 30 starts, career high by far, 3.12 ERA, all-star appearance. You know, that's huge. That's a gigantic step he took. Maybe Cora's just thinking, I don't want to put added pressure. I'm more interested in seeing Tanner Houck repeat what he did in 2024 before we say, okay, now time to take the next step. Because what's the next step? Cy Young candidate?
Well, to me, the next step would be carrying the first half through the entire season. So I just pulled up the strikeout numbers. 8.6 K per nine in the first half, 6.1 K per nine in the second. We all remember the struggles. He got it together in the last, I think, like 3 to 5 starts were good. But the second half in general for him, it was a grind for him. And that's not, like, we talked about this all last season where, yeah, he hasn't thrown this many innings before and it showed. And now that he has, we sort of hoped, okay, like, now he can take that next leap. But I mean, we haven't been getting accurate velocity. It's hard to know where his velocity stands right now. So really all we can go off of is the quotes from the people that are watching him and, like, in person, and the limited action that we've seen from him on TV, which I believe might only be two starts that we've seen from him on TV.
Two starts, yeah. Yeah, two starts overall. I don't even
It might only be one, actually. Yeah, one of them was on radio.
Yeah. bad grades for whoever is in charge of getting these games televised. Pretty absurd this year. Feels more egregious than usual. But yeah, Hauk, I mean, him pitching all those innings, he's a tall guy, but he's not a big guy. He's 6'5", 225. That's pretty, I don't call him skinny, but that's not a big, beefy, you know, Garrett Crochet kind of horse-looking starting pitcher. So, yeah, I kind of just want to see if he can come close to repeating what he did in 2024 rather than, you know, what's the phrase? Putting the cart before the horse and being like, time to take the next step. Let's see if you can do it again. And he's only 28. It's not like this guy's like 30 and he's like, this is who he is. He still has room to improve. A bit of a late bloomer as well. So, that's what I'm looking for with Tanner Houck. Do it again.
Yeah. Not someone that I'd be like, take that next whatever. But and again, I think he'll get there. It's just like early on that second game of the year, I'll be a little bit, I'll watch closely what we see from him.
I think the other thing too is he had that endurance issue late in the season. They had to skip some starts. He didn't look as sharp. I think right now, just slowly ramping up and getting him primed for, you know, March through September, ideally plus. Like just getting him ready for that workload. Two starts so far. He hasn't looked great, but also I'm not really worried about it because I'll judge how he's looking when May rolls around. 3-5 starts in, see what he really looks like. And then, yeah, this is a conversation. But for right now, if he's throwing like 75-80% and he's just getting primed, then yeah, that's great. Because last year he fizzled out. And if they made it to the wild card of the playoffs last year, I would have been concerned with him going on the mound.
Yeah, me too. I agree. And we talked about that during the season. But so obviously, you know, we'll keep an eye on Hauck. Is he pitching like in the next couple days? Because Crochet went today.
Has to be.
He's going on drop day. Okay. He'll throw tomorrow for us today if you're listening. But okay, for the back part of the rotation though. So Cora announced the first. I love this. We're getting close enough to opening day where we're getting announcements. The first five in the lineup: Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story. It's exactly how I would do it. And the first three in the rotation: Crochet, Hauck, Buehler. That's exactly how I would do it, considering the injuries.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The question I'll ask you guys, Cora named four guys competing for those final two rotation spots. Richard Fitz, who has been lights out all spring. Quinn Priester, who's had a really good spring until Saturday's outing where he really struggled. I think he gave up nine walks and hits combined in 2 2/3 innings. Then you've got Cooper Criswell, and you've got Sean Newcomb, who I don't think we've really discussed him at all, but I mean, he's put himself in this conversation. Sub one ERA, four spotless innings. I think just one hit allowed in his last start. I mean, he's been terrific. A guy who's had legitimate big league success in the past with the Braves. It's been a while from Brockton and went to
Middleborough.
Like, so guy from around here. Certainly would not have been in the conversation if we were having this discussion 2 weeks ago, but he's put himself in there. But the question I have for you guys is, what would your final two guys be? Is it as simple as Fitz and Priester, or are you considering Criswell and Newcomb for those spots?
Fitz is kind of a no-brainer. He's looked outstanding, so I'm going with him. That second spot is really hard. I probably wouldn't do Newcomb just because I gotta see more from him. He's been really, really drastically up and down over his career to the point of being an all-star at one point and then completely falling off the map, and now he's resurfacing. So him I'd like to see get a little more run in AAA. Criswell, I feel like you kind of know what you're getting with him. A lot of this answer is going to depend on how Priester looks in his final outing. I don't mind if the guy's getting hit around a bit, but walking guys is a little bit meh. Don't love that. So right now, I think my answer to your question, Gordo, is I'd go Fitz, no brainer, and then maybe just throw that a few spot starts to Cooper Criswell early on.
Pat, where would you go with this?
Like Sammy said, Fitz is as much of a lock as a lock gets. He looked great in his, I would even call it a cup of coffee last year. He was up for a good stretch. He looked really good when he was up last year.
He basically had the same WAR as Verdugo had in an entire season in five starts.
Yeah. So like he looked good at the tail end of last year, comes into camp, added velo, which is crazy because his big thing was he was a pitch to contact, didn't really have much strikeout stuff. That velo plays big time. He looks incredible. That he easily, while Bayo and Giolito are out, he is that in that four spot. The five spot, Newcomb's looked really good. I don't really love the idea of tinkering with Criswell again, like stretching him out and then putting him in the back of the pen. And then I would just prefer him be that kind of middle reliever that can kind of go up and down. I would lean Priester. Aside from his last start, I think Priester's actually looked really good. That's kind of where I'm at. But at the same time, if they wanted Criswell because he was up last year, he has experience. I get it. I would just lean Priester over Criswell right now.
My answer, I mean, I agree with you guys. I think it's like the way it was phrased is four guys for two spots. But really, it is three guys for one spot because Richard Fitz is in this rotation while guys are out. And we hope that Bayo and Giolito will not miss too much time. It sounds pretty encouraging what we're hearing about them. And even Cutter Crawford, he's throwing multiple bullpens this coming week. And, you know, if he's doing that, conceivably he could be ready in May. So it's not like, I mean, you'll have guys back. But for that fifth spot, and in theory, you don't need it the first time through because they have a day off. They have one day off early, but they have 20 games in the first 21 days. So I think they should use the five-man rotation and even consider a sixth guy early on just to give guys a lot of rest. I would definitely go Fitz in the fourth game. And to me, and my answer would change if Sean Newcomb has an opt-out in his contract. I don't know if he does. I don't think I would. If he has an opt-out in his contract, I would give him a spot start and let him be the mop-up guy after that. So I'd be okay doing that. if he doesn't have an opt-out, I would definitely want to see more in the minors before I put him on the big league roster. Because if you put him on the big league roster, you're putting him in DFA territory as soon as guys get healthy. It's the same thing as Trace Thompson. And you're probably going to need that depth down the line a little bit more. Hopefully you won't need it much more than you need it now. But you want to preserve it if you can. Right now, I would go Fitz and Priester. But if Priester bombs his final spring training start, I'd be totally comfortable going Criswell and trying to work a little bit with Priester. Because Criswell has shown that you can at least trust him to not be a guaranteed suck. Right? Like, he's not going to guaranteed go out there and shit the bed. He's okay. The ceiling's not the Priester ceiling, but he's not going to suck.
So it goes Rangers, Orioles. So Criswell, we believe, if he were to be in the rotation, he'd face the Orioles.
He got bombed by Baltimore last year.
Two times. So first game, 3.1 innings, 6 earned runs. Next game, 4 innings, 7 earned runs. Now, breaking news, there's 162 games in the season. So I don't know if that matters to you guys at all, that he doesn't really match up well with these guys. The Orioles didn't really change much from this year to last. So
it does. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't really, this is small beans in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I mean, I think Criswell's the safer bet. My thing with guys like Priester, I like them getting the call up to the big leagues when they're on fire. Like when they are rolling and they're feeling good and they're feeling confident. That's why Fitz is such a no-brainer. Of course, he may not have the ceiling that Quinn Priester has, but he's on fire right now. So you're putting him in there. As far as Priester goes, and this is why I said that last start is going to mean a lot. Not because spring training stats matter to me very much. It's just a vibe thing. If he's rolling, I'm changing my answer right now to Priester.
Yeah.
But Criswell, he's probably not in the long-term plans. So if it's kind of like, I'm not sure, just go out there, Coop. Let's see what you got. Give us 4 innings. Keep it a close game. We'll go from there.
And Criswell's another guy where, I mean, he's got this last year. He can be optioned this year. So again, like if Sean Newcomb's got an opt-out in there, that it would change my answer a little bit. But you could conceivably have Criswell on the roster, give him a start, maybe two, and then he sticks around as your mop-up guy. Because that's one thing, like, we always put together these bullpen projections and, like, we pick the X amount of, the 8 best relievers. But that's really not the way it works. Like, Chase Anderson was on the team for how many months last year? And there were guys in the minors that were obviously better than Chase Anderson. But you got to have a guy who, if the game's over in the 4th inning, you got to have a guy that you can put out there and he's going to go the rest of the way and save your bullpen. And to me, like, who is that? It could be Criswell. It could be Wink. Like, that could be a Wink job. It could be Newcomb. Like, there's guys who could fill that role, but you got to have one. It's not like you're going to have Greg Weissert on the roster in that role. Like, he's a one-inning guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd like to not see bullpen games.
Just for clarification on Sean Newcomb's contract, his dad confirmed it's a two-way deal, majors or minors, Sox decide. So I don't think he has.
Hey, his dad confirmed?
Good guy, yeah. Local guy. Look at that.
Yeah, Bill Newcomb, two-way deal, majors or minors with Sox, they decide.
Where do you see that Bill Newcomb confirmed this?
This was a reply to friend of the program, Jordan Leandre.
He's just talking his kid's contract on Twitter.
Yeah, awesome. Jordan said, Sean Newcomb's been really good in camp. 1 earned run, 10 Ks, 9 2/3 innings so far. Unsure of his status at the end of camp regarding potential opt-out, but he's been very noticeable. Big Bill Newcomb, two-way deal. Majors or minors, Sox decide. So,
wow. Okay. Very well, then. Very, very well, then. As good as Sean Newcomb has been this spring, that'll sway my mind, right? Like, I want to see it in the minors a little bit before I give that shot to a guy who hasn't really had much success as a starter since, what, 2018? I think it was 18.
Ooh, that sounds right.
Stand by. Okay, game started. Last time he started more than 10 games was 2022 for the Cubs.
What was his ERA?
We don't have to talk about that.
When was the last time he was good as a big league starter?
Okay, to answer your question, 2022, his ERA was 9.13. Last time he was like good-ish, like serviceable, I guess 2021, he had a 4.73 ERA. No, nope, wait. Yeah, 4.73 ERA with a 3.6 FIP. So that's not great, okay. But that's like, that's not a disaster. So there you go.
he was good in 18 and 19. 18, 30 starts. He had a 3.9. 2019, he was a reliever in 19. Threw in 55 games, had a 3.16.
Hey, yeah, that's pretty good.
Why did I think he made an all-star team? I thought he had made an all-star team out of nowhere. I'm wrong about that. But he was good that 18, year.
He was really good. But yeah, I mean, props, he's earned the right to be in the conversation, and like, I'm glad Cora brought him into it. But yeah, I mean, if he can be in the minors and there's no opt-outs, yeah, I mean, gotta keep that depth and make him show you, like, he's not gonna jump Cooper Criswell after the year he had last year, which was totally fine off of spring training numbers. It's just not gonna happen.
We gotta help him with his nickname, Sean Newcomb. His only nickname is Nuke.
Yeah. That's not a good name for a pitcher. That's not
Big
a good
comb.
Name.
Yeah, no. Not a good nickname.
Fellow Hartford Hawk, I'll help a brother out, I guess.
Damn. All right. Let's I know we're running on time. We're getting notes. We got a Devers stuff. There's been a lot that's happened since our last time, talking about this story. In fact, the last time we talked about this story, we were talking about how he hadn't played in spring games. We were wondering why, wondering if it had to do with the third base drama, all of that. And since then, he has now played in one spring training game. He DH'd. And after a game on the backfields, he talked with the media again and basically said, yeah, I told them how I feel, but whatever the team needs me to do, I'm going to do. And considering Alex Bregman still has yet to play a spring training game at second base, and we're talking about how we're within 10 days of opening day, makes it pretty clear to me that what they're going to do, at least for the overwhelming majority of the time, is Bregman's going to be at third and Devers is going to be at DH. What did you guys make of Devers' comments to the media? Do you think that there's more to the story that we haven't seen, or is this, he's going to end up DHing and we're going to move on and the games are going to start and we're really not going to talk about this and it's really not going to come up again? What do you think?
I'm honestly tired of speculating on what might have happened behind the scenes. Like, there's so many things that just don't add up. Like, for example, we've heard he was told that none of the Bregman or Arenado rumors were true. How could that possibly have been told to him? That would make no sense to me, because that was the most obvious fit. Everyone knew the Red Sox needed a right-handed bat, and they were open to moving Devers off of third base. He's not a good defender, varying degrees of how bad people think he is. I think we all agree he's below average. So I'm tired of speculating. I'm at the point where it seems like Devers is over it. He's like, whatever, it's not a big deal. I'm going to help the team win. And I think we're all going to forget about this, I hope, once we get to opening day. And again, I said this recently, my biggest fear, why I want this story to go away, I don't want any amount of Red Sox fans turning on Devers, because you could look at it like Gordo looks at it, where you're saying, good for you, good to stand up for yourself. Okay, I get that. But you could also look at it like, you make $300 million to play baseball. Stop complaining that you can't play bad defense at third base anymore. And if you think that Red Sox fans won't turn on Rafael Devers, I would quickly point you to Manny Ramirez, who the fan base turned on in a big way right before he was traded. That was gross. I remember very well being at Fenway in 2008, hearing Manny get booed as a kid. And I'm like, no, why would you boo Manny? I understand what's going on, but don't boo him. So it can happen. That's why, just let's all get over this story. He's going to be the DH. He'll probably play some third. Maybe he'll even play some first. I don't give a shit. I want to see this guy hit 40 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, cooler heads prevailed, right? The first time he talked to the media, he had just shown up to camp. Bregman was there. I don't even know if it was set in stone that Bregman was even going to play third. I think that was just out there, obviously, because it's going to happen. But yeah, like, imagine coming into camp and be like, yeah, by the way, you might lose your job. Understandably, pissed. I get it. His comments lately, it's been, what, 3-4 weeks now? You settle down, you get in rhythm, you're with the guys, and then he just comes out and says, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to win. I'll do what they want. I understand. And that's all we could have asked for. And that's kind of what we said was going to happen, right? once you're in the swing of things, you see what the team looks like, you get excited for the regular season to roll around, and you're just like, I just want to win. And that's exactly what it sounds like. And it's hard not to be happy that he came out and said it instead of just not talking to the media. And then like he slides into DH, because if that's a thing, then you have a whole whirlwind of, is he pissed about this? Is like, blah, whatever. Came out, said, look, I want to win. I'll do whatever. Bregman hasn't played second. Bregman has only been DHing and playing third. Raffy will DH. It's a done deal. It's put to bed. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think in terms of what we're going to hear about moving forward, I don't think we're going to hear a lot about it. I think it's going to be a story. They're going to release the opening day lineup. Devers is going to be in there as the DH, and people are going to take note and be like, oh, there it is. Like, oh, there it is. And then they'll ask Cora about it after the game, and he'll say, we talked to Raffy about it. He knows his role. Like, he's going to play some third base this year. It's not like he's going to be a DH 162, whatever. He'll say that stuff. I'm glad that it's not going to get to the point where like Devers is going to like request a trade over this. I know it was reported that he considered that, and a lot of people freaked out at Sean McAdam for reporting that, which I never understood. I think that's his job to find out that info and report it. I also would not get mad at Raffy for that, because he feels wronged, and I think it's understandable that he feels wronged, and I think it's within his right to consider his options. And I think he made the smart decision to not request a trade from the Boston Red Sox, the only organization he's ever played for. And at the time that he would be doing it, right before we are entering what looks to be one of the great eras of Red Sox baseball, we hope. So it would be kind of a weird time to request a trade. I understand the position thing, but let's be real here. Wherever he would get traded to, he'd be a DH there in a few years. Yep. At most. So it's like, it is like he made the smart decision. I don't blame him for considering it. And again, I don't blame Sean for reporting that. And I think it's weird to come after the media members for reporting things like that they hear. But the one thing that I will say, cause I don't think that we're going to hear a ton about this moving forward, but to me, I do think it's going to linger around a little bit behind closed doors, and Raffy is not a very public guy, so I don't know that it's gonna get out. We'll see if it does. But I watched this video, and shout out Twitter user @masterflip_ basically he spoke over the Devers media availability, and basically if you read the articles and you listen to what the translator said, it sounded like Devers is like, you know what? Like, I told them my piece, but I'm over it, and I'm going to do what's best for the team. This guy talking over it, and like, I'm not fluent in Spanish, so like, take it for what it's worth. I have no idea. But he makes it seem like Devers' tone is actually, yeah, I told them how I feel. I can't really say how I feel here because it's going to get twisted around on me and it's going to sound combative. So I'm going to keep it in house. They know how I feel. I've told them that. We've had the conversations behind closed doors. At this point, like what else can I do besides do whatever they say? So again, like that's another reason why I think it's not going to really go too far beyond this, because even if he's not happy about it, he's going to do what they say. But that said, like, I do think that if he's DHing 80%+ of the games, he's not going to be happy about it. So we'll see if that has an impact, but that's just a story that has not yet been told.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree about, I don't think he really has much grounds to complain. He's been paid already. He's not a good defender at third. You got to do what's best for the team at that point. You're not leaving any money on the table, but at the same time, these are humans, not robots. So I get how he's emotional. We can agree to disagree on that part, but I'm glad it's over. And I agree with you, Gordo. Maybe it lingers behind closed doors, but I'm sick of hearing about it.
It's not going to be a story. Like, it's not, we're going to have the games, and like the questions to Cora and the players after the games are going to be about the games. Like, they're not going to be asking. Yeah, Devers is, if he speaks to the media in the after games in the first series of the season and he's DHing, they'll ask him about it. And he'll say a little spiel that's not, like, hopefully he's not going to say something that's going to be a story. And then after the first few games of it, like, yeah, they're not going to ask him about it anymore. That'll be that.
Hope so. Hope so. You know how Boston media is. They like the drama.
I think the only way this comes back up, honestly, is if Raffy starts ice cold. Then it turns into, does he need to be in the field to get into the rhythm? Is not being in the field affecting his bat? Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that'd be so annoying.
I agree.
A thing. It's a thing. DH is not for everyone.
Yeah,
that is a thing. True. Like, if that happens, that is going to be a whole new conversation point. So let's just pray that Raffy goes yard opening day.
He can get stressed out. We've seen, you know, like, he'll make an error in the field, or he'll have a bad at bat, and then it will, you know, roll over into the field. He'll make a mistake, and the mistakes pile up. So how can a guy like that handle? Now he's DHing. Let's say he strikes out on a pitch he should have swung at and he takes it and he's frustrated. Now he has to sit on it. Is that better or worse? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, for like two or three innings, he's going to have to just marinate in that. Like, a guy like David Ortiz, you know, he made his living doing it. He perfected it. It was an art for him. Other guys, they haven't had as much success with it. And, you know, I don't think another thing here is, like, whatever decision they make is not necessarily going to be the decision that like, it's not just because they have Devers DH on opening day doesn't mean that in games 130 through 162 he necessarily will. Like, for instance, if Bregman goes down, like, Devers is playing the field, Yoshida's going to DH. Like, that's going to be the lineup they put out there. And if Yoshida is crushing the ball and shows he needs to be in the lineup, and Roman Anthony has forced his way out of the roster, and like, Duran and Rafaela and Abreu are having good years, and like, it's going to force the need to put Bregman at second, to put Devers at third, to open up DH for Yoshida, to open up the outfield for those guys. So it's going to be a moving target all year, and almost every day it feels like the lineup card is going to be a story.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ooh, I have a good enough said to transition us of that comment. If you want to pivot,
want to go in enough said?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, Sammy, you go first. Okay. Enough said.
You mentioned the lineup. I want Roman Anthony on the opening day roster. And I see a lot of people saying, no, 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 he needs more time in AAA, service time, blah, blah, blah. Fuck that. Number one prospect in the game. You got Red Sox fans already fired up. You want to add fuel to the fire in the best way? I want that guy on the field opening day. And there's a good opportunity because Willier Abreu went from thin Willie, and he's still trying to get back to being thick Willie because he lost a ton of weight when he was sick. He's had two at-bats as we're recording. So I don't know. Maybe a spot's opening up for Roman Anthony. I kind of thought Willier Abreu would have been moved in the offseason, not because he's bad, because he's good and they could get value for him, and it opens a spot for Roman Anthony. So I don't know where you guys are at. Oh, and I have to mention the new rule where, I'll give the simplified version. If you have a prospect who is ranked on a national list or whatever, obviously Roman Anthony is ranked on every list towards number one, and he and you don't manipulate the service time and he wins Rookie of the Year, you get an extra draft pick. And people might scoff and be like, oh, what's an extra draft pick in baseball? Roman Anthony. Supplemental draft pick. So it matters.
Can I ask you a question, Chris, Sammy? Yeah, and Campbell, too. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Campbell. And Campbell.
Sammy, let me ask you a question, though, because the latest, like we were told for weeks that Abreu not looking good for opening day, lost a lot of weight, whatever. But now the most recent comments from Cora and Willier are that, you know, he has a reasonable chance to be ready. If Willier is ready for opening day, does that change your answer?
That's a tough question.
And if the answer is no, then where does Roman fit in? Because one thing that Cora said today, which is obvious, he didn't need to get asked this question. It's an obvious answer. But if one of the big three or any of the big three are on the roster, they're playing every day. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to be up here to be part-time players.
I'll go a step further. I want, like, they have to be playing every day regardless of what level they're at. So
yeah, of course.
If Willier's, it's tough because I would have moved Willier already if I were in charge. Good thing I'm not. I guess if Willier's healthy and they really think, like, yeah, he's good to go, he's 100%, you're kind of really don't have a choice. But if Yoshida's not ready, that could put Roman in left.
And you can move Duran to center. And you'd sit Sedan.
And move Sedan all around the field. Yeah, you're going to need him playing a million different positions. And we've talked about that. I've come around on this in a big way. Like, I think if Sedan is your everyday center fielder in 2025, I think he'll do very well. I think he'll get gold glove, you know, looks. Like, he'll look like a gold glover in center. He'll rack up a ton of war. War fans, see? I'm using that stat again. And he could be a 2020 guy. And yes, he has his flaws. He gets thrown out on the bases a lot. He strikes out a lot. He doesn't really walk. Whatever. He's still going to be a valuable player. That said, Roman Anthony, man. We're talking about Roman Anthony. So,
But is it too many lefties? Like, think about the amount of lefties you'd have in the lineup if you basically said on would be a bench player. You'd have a lefty at first, so catcher and second would be righties. You'd have left and shorts. You'd have lefties at first,
third.
No, because Bregman.
No, DH.
Oh, so DH. Maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So you'd have Bregman's righties at catcher, second. With Campbell actually, if Hamilton's playing, but if Campbell or Grissom plays, you'd have a righty there, righty at short, and righty at third.
Righty at third. Okay,
so, yeah, Gordo, here's what I would do. If there were a lefty on the mound, I'd probably put in Ref Snyder over Abreu. But Roman Anthony, I'm playing every day. Cora said the same thing. Like you said, I'm playing him every day. That's why Ref Snyder is a good piece on this team. Even if Willier's healthy, I think then I just move Sedan to that utility role. I really want to see him make the team. I think vibes-wise, that would go a long way. To be like, look, he's ready. This is the number one prospect. We've been touting him for months on end. For months. And he's starting the season on opening day. We weren't pulling the wool over your eyes, Red Sox fans. He's really that good. And he's ready. Here you go.
He's put together such mature at-bats. Like, even in today's game, there were so many close pitches, and if they're off the plate and he takes them and he can draw a walk, and he's 20, but he puts together the at bat of like an 8 to 10 year vet who's finally learned the strike zone. It's just, it's weird that, and like, obviously spring training is spring training, but it, like, we've talked about how spring training needs more for roster bubble guys like Anthony Campbell. Wouldn't it be a little bit weird with how they've looked to this point if Campbell makes the roster and Anthony doesn't. Like, I understand fit-wise, like, they need a guy to play second base. They need righties for the lineup. But, like, Anthony's just looked so, like, he's just looked so motherfucking good. Like,
yeah, no, I think you answered, your question. It would look weird, but it would be a roster fit thing.
Pat, what would you do? If, let's say Abreu is healthy and is on the roster, what would you do?
I would give him a stretch in AAA. And it's not because I don't think he isn't ready. I just get super... Jackson Holliday is what keeps coming to my head. Jackson came up, was incredibly overwhelmed. And I don't think that would happen with Roman. I think Roman is obviously a little bit older than Jackson was when he came up. And he's a little bit more mature and he's put together more at-bats. But a little extra seasoning in AAA for like 3 weeks, like just carry over the strong spring training into AAA, like maintain it, improve it, whatever. And then at that point, okay, you played enough good baseball for X amount of games, this good stretch. Now is time. I would just, it's something so small that I would just do it because I get so, look at the Joe Adels of the world, like guys who are rushed up. It's a risk. There is a risk. And I believe that Roman is going to be like Kyle Tucker light. Like, I think Roman is going to be a stud. I don't think it's the end of the world to let him marinate a little bit.
One thing also, I will Williers, say, though, you can send him back. Like, if he makes the opening day roster and struggles, you can send him back down. And if you're thinking about service time, if he spends enough time down there, even if he started the season in the majors, you can get that year back. But obviously, if he plays well and he's not worth sending, like, you can't be thinking about the service time. If you bring him up and he struggles, like Jackson Holliday was incredible in the minors, got called up, struggled, and then got sent back down. He wasn't the same for the rest of the year.
You really just never know. It's so hard with prospects. They could be looking amazing and then just flop at the major league level. Also worth noting, Willie Abreu's wife just gave birth to twins. So maybe he gets double bonus dad strength. I know he was already a dad, but now three. So worth considering. That's advanced analytics for you.
Yep. All right. My enough said real quick, just on the same topic, because how could you not talk about these guys? But watching the spring breakout game and seeing Campbell and Meyer go back to back and then seeing Roman hit like the hardest fucking ball that we've like basically seen all spring. Just like the ball left. It was just instant. It was like teleportation into the right field seats. It was just, he absolutely mauled it. All three of those guys hitting home runs in the spring breakout game kind of felt like it was like the prophecy and like, hey, just so you know, like 29 other teams, this is what's fucking coming. And like, we talk about the Red Sox big league roster, the big league lineup and how we think it's a good lineup. Well, when those three guys, like in, like they'll have whatever rookie years, when those three guys are in the swing of things and like they've had their lumps at the big league level and they're producing, like that's a whole new third of the lineup that you're adding, and you're replacing, you know, like the guys at the bottom of the order. Like, we haven't really had much at second base for years, and like the outfield has kind of been in flux, and now it, like, no, like this roster is going to be it's going to be a big deal. Like, that it is coming. And it's exciting. And I think that it was great that it happened on the big stage, quote unquote, big stage. It was on MLB Network, but for everyone to see. And yeah, MLB socials were going crazy with it. Like, people know it's coming. So that gave me immense joy. It really did.
Dude, that was the best video, is like that side view of Roman just hitting a 600-foot home run with those two losers in the background chanting overrated.
Yeah.
The sound off of his bat is like, it's so pure. It's so pure, and I cannot wait to hear it inside of Fenway. It is so exciting that all three are coming up at some point this year, barring injury. Like, it's exciting.
I agree. Pat, you got enough said?
I do. This might be controversial. I don't think it should be, but it might be. I think Garrett Whitlock should be the closer.
I was wondering if we were going to get into this today.
Yep. I've seen more than enough. He is back to 2021 Garrett. The velo looks good. Changeup looks good. Everything looks good. He is punching guys out. He's limiting contact. Like, he looks exactly like he did in that monster 21 season. And Hendricks, I really, really, really was holding out to give him the benefit of the doubt. I just haven't liked what I've seen so far. Chapman is a heart attack waiting to happen. Like, he gets out of it, but he will put guys on base. Slayton's kind of in sick and out of it a little bit. So, yeah, sick in, like, a good way. He's done fucking awesome.
Back now, though. But back now.
Back now, yeah. So I'll be curious to see what he looks like. He was my kind of 1B to be the closer. But, no, dude, Whitlock looks unreal, and that's exactly who I want in the ninth inning right now.
Well, here, this is a question I asked on Twitter. If he is your best reliever, and it seems like, Pat, we know the answer. If Whitlock is your best reliever, Pat, you want him closing. You don't want him in the multi-inning role.
Absolutely.
Right? Sammy?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have a lot of guys who can do the multi-inning role. You go look at like Slayton, Zach, Cooper Criswell. There's a lot of guys who can do that. So it's less of a need, I guess. And therefore, if he is your best reliever, he should close. And yeah, it's a bummer, man. I'm not giving up on Liam Hendricks yet. He missed 2 years. He had cancer and had to get major surgery. So, of course, he's not going to look automatically like 2021 Liam Hendricks right off the rip. But it's just the season is right around the corner, and I don't know how good I would feel in a one-run game in the ninth inning with him coming in right now. But we're all rooting for him. He's been great to us. So, he's well-liked. He's funny. And, you know, it would be great if he were great. Just got to see a little more from him to feel confident in that.
Yeah. I mean, just to give my, I know we got to wrap soon, but to give my quick take on this, I would try as hard as possible to keep him in the multi-inning role to me. I think he's the only guy on this roster where I feel confident in him pitching high leverage innings for more than two innings. Like Slayton can get into the second inning, but he wasn't that great once he threw the second inning last year. Zach Kelly's kind of been the same where like he can do it, but like it's not ideal. Whitlock, it's like he can throw two and he can go into a third and you can feel good about it too. I would try as many options. Like he would be my fourth option to try at closer just because I feel so good about him in that 2-3 inning role where like if a pitcher goes five, he can go 6-7-8 and just get you to the closer. That said, if none of them are working, like I wouldn't be hesitant to put him in the role. It's just that if Whitlock's not in that role, you don't really have anyone else that can do it at that level. Like Criswell can be a multi-inning guy, but he's not going to be a high leverage multi-inning guy. He's going to be a mop-up multi-inning guy.
Are you at all worried about him at Whitlock throwing 85, 90-ish innings coming off of surgery, though?
Not really. I mean, they're going to take care of him. I mean, that's the other thing is, like, can Whitlock throw back-to-backs? We haven't. Same thing could be said about Liam Hendricks. Like, they, to my knowledge,
have not
done this.
No, that's tough. That's tough if you're a closer and you can't go back-to-back games. There's talent in the bullpen. It's just there's not a guy.
It's uncertain.
Ryan Helsley.
It's a lot of uncertainty. Like, we know that Slayton can go back-to-backs, and we know that Chapman can go back-to-backs. And, like, if it were me, Justin Slayton's the closer. I think he's your best one-inning guy in the bullpen. But I understand why Liam Hendricks is getting the first crack at it, and he deserves it, and he's earned it for his career. But we'll see where it goes. That's going to be another one where it's like the conversation can change by the end of the first week of the season. Like if Liam Hendricks saves 2-1 run games in the first five games, like he's your closer. You feel good. If he blows those games, we're going to be talking about who's next. So that's just a conversation that we're going to continuously be having. It's not like when Kenley was here where you knew. You don't. Anything else before we wrap?
Nada.
No, good right. To see Connor Wong come back looking healthy, hit a home run today. Give him a shout.
Yep, shout out Connor Wong. Shout out Rob Refsnyder also going deep today. Sedan going deep today. And drawing a walk. Shout out those guys. Team's looking good. Pitching depth going to be tested, but team overall looking good. But that's going to do it for episode 187 of Play Tessie. We will be back for one more before we jet off to spring training. Don't worry, we will have two more episodes for you guys this week. But last one on Tuesday, we record Tuesday, drop Wednesday. Last one before we go to spring training, and anything goes once we get there. But we appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Before you tune out, before you go about your day, remember, subscribe. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. We got the Play Tessie playlist there. You can subscribe to WEI, hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. And as always, you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Pat, who I'm pretty sure just muted himself and sneezed. So bless you, Pat.
Yep. Thank you.
For Joe producing, it's Gordo here. Thanks for tuning into this one, everyone. Peace.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.